Let's get to our guest now, Isaac Poole, Global CIO at Oriana Financial Services, sitting in my usual seat in the Singapore studio. Great to see you on our Zoom there, Isaac. I hope you're enjoying the Lion City. Let's start with what we're expecting from, of course, the inflation read and whether or not we've reached peak inflation. How do we trade that ahead of the Fed decision later this month too?
Yeah, I think we have reached peak inflation. We've seen the numbers get to multi-decade highs. They've come off last month. This month, we're likely to see headline monthly inflation at negative. Core is trending lower, and I think that's going to be the case over the rest of this year. That in no way is going to prevent the Fed from hiking most likely 75 basis points this month. It's in no way going to prevent them hiking again later this year, but it does mean that we're getting to the end game for them, and they're getting to their close to their terminal rate, where they're going to pause for a very long period of time and then give themselves some time to gauge where that trend is going for inflation.
And what does it mean in terms of, does the yield curve inversion get deeper? Is the dollar at its peak too?
I don't think we're going to see the yield curve necessarily get more inverted. At the same time, I don't think we're going to see it steepen either. What we tend to see at the back end of the rate hike cycle in the US is the Fed pause for a long period of time and for that inversion to persist for quite some period of time. And what you want to keep an eye out is for a really big bull steepening for the 2-year yield to fall dramatically, because that'll be indicating that the market expects a recession. We're a long way away from that yet. So this inversion could persist for 12 months, maybe 14 or 15 or 18 months before we get to that steepening.
We're seeing price pressures and, of course, global headwinds just really weigh into corporates as well. And that's reflected in the fact that HSBC is saying that they're going to have to materially increase pay. Goldman is looking at job cuts. How does this kind of factor into business thinking? Are we expecting to see more of the same as what we heard from Goldman?
I think the short answer is yes. We've seen rates hiked dramatically, very, very quickly from low levels. And that is going to start to bite into economic growth. And the distinguishing factor here, between consensus and what I think is, you know, is that going to cause recession? We think no, but it's certainly going to slow growth. It's going to slow growth back to somewhere around, but most likely a bit below trend for an extended period of time. And that is going to have an impact on corporates. They are going to see their earnings slow. We don't think they'll slow as much as the market is expecting, but it will still be challenging over 2023 for them.
So, Isaac, Brian, talking there about President Xi Jinping's planned trip to Central Asia, is this a sign that normalcy is returning to China, and do we see things pivot after the Party Congress?
I think perhaps it's a very early sign that we're heading in the right direction, but a pivot away from zero COVID policies is going to be, I think, implemented cautiously and slowly, and maybe it begins with the internal borders reopening and domestic travel restarting, and then over subsequent months it might reopen to the more international travel. But that's certainly not going to happen before the National Congress, and it's probably something for early 2023. Sorry.
We're getting the monthly data dump on Friday as well. I mean, you already think that China is in recession and has been for most of this year. How much kind of further weakness are you expecting to see, and when do we see that rebound based on, I guess, borders reopening here?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty ugly year for the Chinese economy. It is what we would classify as a recession. Most of this year it's been a recession. We're probably getting closer to the end of that than the start of it, given that a recession, you know, might last 9, 10, 11 months. We've been in it for about 6 months in China, and we are seeing more monetary policy support. There's more to come. There's probably more fiscal policy support. And then the necessary condition for a escape velocity for the Chinese economy is that rolling back of the zero COVID policy. So probably prepare for some weak data ongoing over the next few months. And then at the back end of this year, early 2023, that's when you're really going to see the economy begin to pick up and move out of this recession. And that, I think, is probably not priced into Chinese equities yet. It's still quite a pessimistic outlook. But I think the market is waiting to see movement on that zero COVID policy.
Open borders is one thing, though, but the property crisis still remains. Is the property sector a space you would still be cautious on?
very cautious. I don't think that there's a lot of willingness to end this by nationalizing the property sector or really wading in there and bailing out everybody. I think there will be targeted support, though. There's obviously no real desire from China to allow something that has been a driver of growth collapse. But this is going to be an issue that will resolve itself not over weeks, not over months, but probably over years, with growth just slowing compared to what we saw pre-pandemic, never really returning to the levels of growth we saw then, but not at the same time being a cause for a collapse in the Chinese economy.
The reopening theme was very much in focus yesterday with Japan. These reports they could ease some of their travel curbs as early as next month. Does that reopening trade still have legs, especially when you look at the weakness of the yen?
Yes, I think it does. I think when you look at the Japanese economy, that reopening will be important in supporting the growth. You've got the yen, which is very, very weak, and that's supportive. It's extremely competitive for its global exports. I think that the situation and the set of circumstances for the Japanese equity market are about as positive as it's been for some time, and there is some real upside support there when you look out over 2023.
You are normally focused in Australia. You're saying that you don't see recession as the most likely outcome over the next 12 months when we look at a global picture. We already talked the China picture, and that could provide upside for Australian equities. Where are you looking, and how did you read, I guess, that pivot from RBA Governor Lowe last week?
I think that that was an effort by the RBA to be as clear as they can, to continue to regain their credibility and say, look, we only need to get to modestly restrictive territory here, and then we can hold for a long period of time. And that's a good pushback on pricing for 360 plus as a terminal cash rate. I don't think it'll get anywhere near there. And holding it for a long period of time will extend that economic cycle. So when you look at Aussie equities, there is some upside there. And I think the places to be leaning towards are the ones that have been beaten down really hard pricing in recession, like consumer discretionary. There's potentially some upside in that area over the next 6 to 12 months.
Isaac, enjoy Singapore. Thanks for coming on. Isaac Poole, Global CIO at Oriana Financial Services, with us in our Singapore studio here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.